You can listen to Heart of the Matter here on Dundalk FM 100 each Monday evening at 7 o'clock.
Heart of the Matter is brought to you by Dundalk Christian Counselling Centre. This free counselling service is situated at Dundalk Baptist Centre on RT Terrace. You can contact us in complete confidence on 932 7094 or email us at christiancounselling@aircom.net. You can also visit our website at dundalkbaptistchurch.org/counselling.
This service is part funded by TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency.
Hello everyone, you're listening to Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM 97.7. My name is Michael and I am one of your usual hosts. Today, Kevin and Stephen are both gone and so I'm on my own, but I have a very special co-host with me. My lovely wife Ashley is joining me today. Ashley, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for letting me come in.
Well, you are very welcome. I'm excited for today. Today we have a very special, not only co-host with me, but a very special guest that we're going to be talking to for the remainder of this show. But I'm going to leave you in suspense as to who that is until we come back from our first song, which is Happy Day, Jesus is Alive by Tim Hughes. Well, like I said, we have a very special guest here with us calling in from the United States. Her name is Jo, and she has been very influential in my wife's life, just in thinking about particularly the theme of biblical womanhood. What does the Bible call women to believe? So, Jo, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Greetings to everyone from the United States.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us on this. Now, I know Ashley has some questions that she'd like to ask you and kind of draw this theme of biblical womanhood out. But just for our listeners, that they can kind of get an idea of who you are, maybe you can tell us how long you've been married, how many children you have.
Yes, I've been married for 44 years, and my husband Bill and I have 6 children and 11 grandchildren, and that's counting 2 that are still in the womb, and they are life. So we have 11 grandchildren, and we're so thankful.
Well, let's just kind of start at the beginning, just kind of introduce people to you a little bit more, but just how did the Lord save you?
Well, interestingly enough, I was 34, first of all. And so now at 68, I've been walking with the Lord half of my life. I was thinking about that when I was reflecting upon my salvation fairly recently. And what he did is when my husband and I, and at that time we only had 3 children, we were both running businesses. We both were experiencing worldly success, receiving accolades from the world, from the community, and receiving all sorts of awards. And from the outside looking in, we just looked like a really solid, happy couple. But not being Christians and getting very heady with my success and Bill with his success, we began living under the same roof independently from each other. I was receiving a fairly good income for a woman at that time back in the early 80s, and began to think way more of myself than anybody else ever did. I can assure you that. And just as I say, I think a key word here is living independently, even though we were under the same roof. Living separately, even though we should have been unified. And as the Lord says in Christ, we are one when we are married. We had none of that. And so as time went on, I became kind of competitive with my husband's success. And if he would go out to business meetings at night, I would seek to do the same thing. And it was just so immature, so foolish on my part. And were you going to ask me something?
No, I was going to say, so what changed?
Well, the Lord sent us to Colorado to visit my sister and her husband, as we thought it was going to be a snow skiing trip for spring break. And when we were there, we saw this remarkable change in the two of them. It was unbelievable. And we marveled at the love and the peace that permeated that home that we had never seen with them before. It was very much like ours was, argumentative and chaotic. They had 3 children at the time, then ended up getting a divorce and going their separate ways. But when you have children, it keeps you in communication with each other. And so when we hit the scene for what we thought was our spring break trip, they had since become Christians, slowly, carefully, prayerfully reunited and remarried each other, and the Lord gave them 2 more children. Mm. So now there's 5 kids under the roof with my sister and her husband. And as I say, there was now this love and peace that permeated that home, respect, kindness, the manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, etc. And we, as I say, we marveled. And when we got their 5 kids and our 3 kids to bed at night, we would sit around their big kitchen table and ask them questions. We just fired questions away. What has happened to the two of you? What is going on? How have you changed? And the response was consistent. Well, the Bible says, Scripture says, the Word of God says, which is all the same thing, versus, well, the church says, the church says, the church says. And we clearly saw that they were going to the Bible for their authority rather than to man. And yes, we know that the Bible is God-breathed. 2 Timothy tells us that. But at that time, Bill and I are not Christians. We're hearing them say what the Bible says. So why are you going to the Bible for your authority? And so they began to respond to our questions with scripture. I mean, specific scriptures. And they took us through, without us even realizing it, a gospel presentation. So we began to see and understand that God, although we believed in the Trinity, both of us did, we did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so we began to see by listening to what they were saying through God's word, that God is holy and that man is sinful. And all it takes is one sin to separate us from God. And all it takes is one sin to give us an eternal address called hell. And that God, in his holiness, which is part of his character, is also just. And that sin calls for the shedding of blood, punishment. And that he is also merciful and does not want to punish us. But it is the justice in his character calls for that. But he is also love. And he loved us so much that he gave his only son, who was perfection, to become sin. His son, who knew no sin for the 33 years he lived on this earth, to become sin, and the sin of all mankind, past, present, and future, and bear the wrath of God on the cross, satisfying God's wrath against the sin of mankind as a substitutionary sacrifice for my sins. And that God raised him from the dead so that I serve a living Savior, who is the living Son of the living God, and who has left behind a love letter to us called the Bible, which is living and active, not dead and dormant. And all that was going on through these conversations night after night around their kitchen table. So they sent us home with a homework assignment, which simply was find a solid Bible teaching church. Buy yourself a Bible and read it. And that began our journey with the Lord. And it was that was the turning point for us when the Lord started drawing us unto himself, using obviously the gospel, which is the power unto salvation, as we know today as Christians.
So you guys both came to the Lord about the same time together.
We did. And at that time, I did not understand the importance of that. So I'm so thankful. It was only about 4 or 5 months later that my husband surrendered his life to Christ. And he told me that I 1 Peter 3'd him during that period of time. What he means by that is the first two verses in 1 Peter 3 say, when Peter wrote, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Well, I wasn't. Bill watched me and he saw me read the Bible. I couldn't get enough of it. And I was just every day reading God's word. And he said he saw me change before his very eyes. I didn't say anything to him like, Bill, you need to be reading this. Bill, we need to find a church and start going to church. Bill, you need to do this and that. He thought I was being manipulative through the changes, but over a period of time, he saw that the changes were real. And he said, and then you began to respect me when I knew I didn't deserve it. And those changes in me made Christ look not only real, but very good to him. And it drew Bill to reading the word. And as I say, just only about 4 months later did he surrender his life. So we're just so thankful in so many ways regarding that.
We are interviewing here Joe Barron from calling in from the States. We have to go to our next song here, which is "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus" by Casting Crowns. And we'll continue this interview right after this song.
Mm-hmm. trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. Trust him more.
Just a second ago, you were talking about 1 Peter 3. What are some practical ways that you respectfully help Bill? Some things that you've agreed upon. You've talked to me a little bit about this, but I just wanted you to share with everyone, just what does this look like practically respecting your husband?
Well, there's a few things that come to mind right off the bat. One is just the way I react to him. For example, I used to roll my eyes. I used to shrug. I used to sigh. I used a lot of those nonverbal things to get my point across. I used to slam a door. I used to question him in kind of an accusatory way. And that all stems from sin in my life and being unhappy, okay? But I know those signs of disrespect, and I have learned through God's word that we are to respect our husbands, right?
Right.
So I've learned all the different forms in which I was disrespecting him so that I could not repeat that behavior anymore. And one of the ways is in the forms also of when we would discipline our children. I saw how important it was that Bill and I have a unified front so that the children are not playing one parent versus the other. I grew up in a home with a lot of children, and my mom and dad loved each other, but they had an ongoing problem that never seemed to be resolved. Mother was very soft, dad was very harsh. Because dad was very harsh, mother became more soft, more easy for us to kind of take advantage of, if you will. Yeah. And so they never seemed to have a unified front. And I knew it was so important to have that and to show that the buck stops with my husband. He is the head of our home. That doesn't mean that I can't discuss my thoughts. He seeks my thoughts and my input. But when we first married, we were like two quarterbacks. And nobody was going to tell me what to do. And so if you imagine two fists coming together and hitting each other, that's how it was. But a marriage in Christ, when you learn that the man is the head and the woman is to be under the head, then you've got two hands that are interlocking. The fingers are interlocking. It's a strong bond, and it works so beautifully together, and it's not chaotic or argumentative, right? Or anything like that. So when in the scenario of discipline, for example, I would literally stand right next to Bill to show that, shoulder to shoulder, to show that we are a unified front. And if there were something that I knew Bill needed to know, a missing part in the equation, so that he would have a better understanding of what took place, I would appeal to him. We talked about using the, actually using the word appeal, not only as an excellent example to our children, but that it is such a respectful word. Bill, may I appeal to you to speak with you for a moment? And then we'd step in the other room and I'd fill in the missing link to help him understand before he would administer discipline. Before I did that, the children would see if I were to correct Bill, so to speak, because he was making the wrong assumption. They would play. They would take advantage of that. So they saw this continuing unified front. And then also another thing I would do is while he was speaking to the children and determining the punishment, the form of discipline, I would be quietly praying for wisdom and for patience and for self-control for my husband.
Yeah.
So while he was administering and especially while he was administering discipline. And then if I would see him getting angry, we had discussed this ahead of time as well. As I was standing next to him, I would take my foot and I would apply pressure against his foot. The children would never see that, but that was his reminder, whoa, calm down. In your anger, do not sin, that kind of thing. Another thing that I want to throw out too is that we're part of a marriage group, and over the years, the husbands would take turns leading the group. We'd be going through a book, and maybe they'd take turns each chapter. And when my husband would lead the discussion, there were many times he would pause, or what I thought was stop with his thoughts, and then I would interject. And then everybody would leave later, and then he'd pull me aside, and I could tell he was really upset. And he would share with me. He tried to explain to me why he felt so disrespected when I would speak up. And I wasn't getting it. I didn't understand. So I didn't know how to correct it because I didn't understand it. So my response would be, okay, then I'm just not going to say anything. And then he'd say, no, that is not what I want you to do. I want your input. I want you to share it. And so the bottom line to all that is probably after a couple years of his attempting to try to explain it, he finally said it in a way where the light bulb went off with me. And what happens is his thoughts travel longer to go from his mind to his mouth than mine do. So when he stops, it's not necessarily a stop because he has finished with all of his thoughts. It's a pause. So then I learned to say, are you finished? And if he'd say, no, not yet. And then he'd continue. And then when he was finished, he'd look at me and he'd say, yes, I'm finished now. And then I would know to speak. And that was just a reoccurring problem where he would share with me that he felt disrespected by that, which was not my intent at all, but it was a huge revelation to me. And I was able to solve the problem because I knew what it was.
I think that's such an issue that as women, we don't realize we're being disrespectful. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we know we're just being a brat about something because we're so upset and frustrated with them. But a lot of times there's stuff that we're doing that we don't perceive it as disrespectful. In our head, we understand it. That's what it is. Our girlfriends affirm, you're fine. You're not doing anything wrong. That's his problem. And it's not. It's disrespect in their mind and how they perceive it. And so just realizing early on in our marriage that every once in a while, you need to stop. And I need to ask Michael, hon, I want you to be honest without being afraid I'm going to get upset with you. But is there anything that I've been doing that you perceive as disrespectful? And being very open to listen to that. And there's been times where he's had to say, yeah, hon, this is disrespectful. But I didn't have a clue.
That is excellent. That's what I call effective communication between you and your man. It's got to be open, honest, transparent, healthy. That you can agree to disagree, but that you have each other's back. You have each other's best interests in mind. You want to bless and help the other, so you want to be open to whatever they're struggling with, even when it affects you.
So as you,
that's so good, yeah.
As you changed and you started opening the communication and being more respectful to Bill, how did this change your marriage?
Oh my goodness. I'm giving him what he needs. When Paul wrote, wives, respect your husbands, God, who made us and who inspired by his Holy Spirit, who inspired Paul, knew what we needed to hear because he made our men that way. They need respect. It's paramount. And yes, we do too. But love is paramount to us. And we think by loving our husbands, we're giving them what they need. No, that's what we need more. Yes, they are to love us. Yes, we are to love them. But we need the love more. They need the respect more. And as a result, I have a more fulfilled husband. His cup is full. And he's able to pour it out upon me with further blessings. It's a ongoing, beautiful cycle of blessing each other when that happens. And thus, you have less arguments, more harmony.
Well, we are coming up on our ad break. If you've heard several times now, Joe, talk about how the Bible is the Word of God and how she turns to that. Her and her husband both saw the truth as they were reading through it on their own and being a part of a local church. And so if you don't have a Bible but would like one, we would love for you to contact us. You can contact us at the Dundalk Baptist Church Facebook page. You can send us a message and we'll send you a Bible for free. Or you can contact us at the Dundalk Baptist Church website, which is dundalkbaptistchurch.org. And we would be happy to get in contact with you and send you a Bible wherever you are. So we'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back, continuing with our interview here and right after the ad break.
Do you have concerns about your child? Are you worried about development, communication, social interaction, or performance at school?
If so, we may be able to help. At Advanced Therapy Systems, we offer comprehensive occupational therapy and speech and language therapy assessment and intervention.
Call us on 042 93 51777 to see how we can help you and your child.